Thank you very much. We've set up the first part of the reading so that you might hear all four of the unknown read. This may be your only chance to do that. However, now we are going to surrender to the spirit of our gathering and perform it in a hypertextual manner. So I'm going to start reading this, and then I will, when I'm good and ready, start ringing this bell.
I'll be the bell ringer. Go ahead, read.
Let William ring the bell.
When there are links. So if a link interests you, call out the linked text, and we will skip to that. I had, since my earliest boyhood, been an avid fan of the cinema. Upon reflection, I had never seen a film that I was not, to some degree, satisfied by. All of that was about to change. Trying to force all thoughts of Rettberg's wife from my mind, I made my way into the theater and down the plush aisle toward the front row. The seats were full of people in tuxedos and evening gowns. They were chatting and laughing and drinking Moët Chandon White Star champagne, which was being poured by impeccable wine stewards who moved up and down the aisles. There was the smell of swordfish being prepared for the appetizer. There was to be a five-course gourmet meal served throughout the film. I found myself a little put off by all this. I was, after all, a writer, and, as such, inhabited a different world than these people, the titans of Hollywood. In Los Angeles. I had always considered film as something secondary to literature, a tributary to the great river of literature whose broad and powerful currents had flowed for hundreds of years. Film, I had always thought, existed to make literature richer. The thought that things were the other way around left rather a bad taste in my mouth. I found myself alone in the first row. I suspected that I was the only one here to see the film, and that everyone else was here to be seen seeing the film by such and such famous director or other. Again, I tried to force these cynical thoughts from my mind and tried to enjoy the popcorn. I found, though, that it had been flavored with some kind of garlic butter with capers, and I suspected tricolor pepper. It had a hint of anchovy. I briefly considered returning to the concession stand and demanding normal popcorn, but quickly subdued my irritation. I was here to see a movie, I reminded myself. Nothing more. At last, the film began. The opening scene was set in a bookstore. The camera panned slowly over an anthology shelf. A quick scrutiny of the titles revealed to me that they were not real books. They were spines designed by studio professionals to resemble real books, and there was not a single anthology I recognized, nor did I see anything published by Norton or Dalkey Archive or Sun and Moon Press. I found this bothered me for reasons I could not put a finger on. Finally, the camera rose upward and, in a shot facing downward, panned over the tops of the shelves. The effect was admittedly stunning. That of floating over the ceiling of a bookstore looking down as I had imagined the ghost of Kerouac had so often done.